Excuse me, this is the operator. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Tammy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the BC candidate call taking place the 19th of February, 2013. On the call today, we have Jim Sinella-Fui, Elisa Cooper, John Berard, Steve Villbianco, Ron Andrus, Martin Sutton, Angie Graves, Gabriela Slack, Yvette Miller, Bill Smith, Marilyn Cade, Sarah Deutsch, Chris Chaplow, Aisha Hassan, Anders Halverson, Glenda Sanjuri, GNSO Secretariat, acting as verifying officer, and myself, Benetta Rossi, BC Secretariat, acting as voting officer, and Robert Hoger. As voting officer, I will announce the names of nominees and advise that both the nominators and the nominees were qualified according to charter rules, as paid-up members of the BC. Formal nominations were received via BC vote and were acknowledged by the voting officer. Candidates were contacted and accepted nominations. Today's call will allow a discussion with each candidate. The GNSO Secretariat, Randy Sanjuri, acting as verifying officer and moderator for this call, will conduct the interaction with the candidates. The call is recorded and transcribed. The nominations are the following. Standing for chair of the BC, Elisa Cooper. Standing for Vice Chair of Finance and Operations, no nominee. Standing for Vice Chair for Policy Coordination, Steve Delbianco. Standing for CSG Representative, we have two nominations, Marilyn Cade and Bill Smith. Each candidate will be allocated 20 minutes for questions. Questions for candidates were received, but all can be considered optional for candidates to respond to, except those directed to specific candidates. As a reminder, this call will be limited to 90 minutes, but candidates may choose to respond to any questions in writing as well. Ballots for the election will be sent tomorrow, February 20th, 2013, and voting will open tomorrow as well. Only paid-up members and primary contacts will receive the ballot, unless advised formally by the voting officer of an alternate voter. Any proxy assignments are needed by today, prior to the opening of the election, to the BC Secretary email. Please note, as a reminder, that voting closes on February 26th. Counting on votes and checks from the verifying officer will take place on the 27th of February. The results of the elections will be announced on or by the 28th of February. I will now turn the call over to Glenda Sanjuri as verifying officer to introduce questions. We will start with the nominee for chair, then vice chair for policy coordination, and CSG representative nominee. Thank you, and over to you, Glenn.
Thank you very much, Benedetta. And hello to everyone. It would be good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Thank you very much for inviting me as verifying officer to attend this call, and I think Benedetta has gone through all the logistics, so I will go straight to the questions. They have been submitted to me by Benedetta. They were sent to the list.
Sorry, Glenn, it's Marilyn. Can I ask a point of order first, please?
Certainly, Marilyn.
I just think I'm aware that there are 44 to 47 paid-up members, and I know we have a subset of those. I just want to verify again for all members who aren't on the call that the call is being recorded, and therefore the discussions will be available to all members to come back and respond to. That's question number one. Question number two, if you don't mind, I heard mention of the validation role of Rob Hogarth as ICANN staff supporting you. Could you just please clarify that validation role so that all I'm aware of it from my previous roles, at but I thought it would be good if you could just verify that ICANN provides backup and support to the election as a sort of a backup integrity role to all members. If you don't mind explaining that.
Certainly I will. Thank you very much, Marilyn. Thank you for bringing up that point. Yes, indeed, Rob Hogarth is on the call, and I've asked him to be on the call because Rob is in charge of, as you probably know quite well, you know him too, stakeholder group and constituency relations, and is directly concerned with, for example, the toolkit services and the election assistance that we provide to constituencies and stakeholder groups falls under that. So that is why I have asked Rob to be on the call with me today. If you have any questions, I will gladly answer them. Hearing no further questions, may I then start with the questions that have been submitted for the candidates? But just before I do that, there were three questions which were very similar. So I have taken the liberty of collating those three questions into one. First of all, I think it will save time and probably it makes more sense. So, Elisa, may I start with you, please?
Sure, Glenn.
Thank you. And I'm going to, first of all, pose the questions that have been put for all the candidates. The first question is, did any affiliate or parent company representative vote during 2012 in any other constituency, stakeholder group, on any policy issue or officer election in 2012 in another constituency?
Yes, I believe that Matt Thurlin likely voted as part of the registrar's constituency. But going forward, Mark Monitor will not be voting in the business constituency, so we will not be voting, for instance, in this election or in any elections in the coming year.
Thank you very much, Elisa. The second question is, this is a time of much change at ICANN, and relationships are really important at this time. Can you tell us about your relationships with the board, other chairs, and advisory committees that will support the continuation of the BC's leadership and visibility?
So let's start off talking about the chairs of some of the other constituency groups. In terms of the IPC and the ISPs, I know both of those chairs well. Of course, I also know in the contracted parties house the chairs for the registrar's constituency well. In terms of the registry's constituency, that is a chair with which I'm not as familiar. In terms of my board interactions, that is clearly an area where I will need to further develop relationships. And so I will take whatever help I can get from the business constituency to further strengthen those relationships, to build those relationships. I will gladly take that support. And in terms of other relationships with the support, other supporting organizations, there are definitely relationships that I need to build. But I will say this, I will not be acting as a sole voice in terms of me acting on my own. I will be representing, to the best of my ability, all of the members. And so in my role as the chair, I intend to better understand exactly what each of the members' perspectives are, to understand those, to identify what is of greatest importance, and to take those and try to incorporate those so that I am representing the views. I'm not going to be, as I mentioned just a moment ago, I'm not going to be someone to act on my own without the support of the entire organization.
Thank you, Elisa. The following question is questions about charters. Can you discuss your familiarity with both the BC and CSG charters? Recognizing charter updates are necessary from time to time, what is the timeline and process that you would anticipate? How would you ensure that the charter updates remain fair to both small business members and large corporate members?
Well, clearly, one of my objectives in this coming year is to make some amendments to the BC's charter. And in particular, I'm interested in looking at changes that can be made for appointments where there are more participants wanting to participate than there are available slots. That's one amendment to the charter that I would like to see. I also would like to see term limits put into the charter for the BC as well. In terms of the charter itself, I don't sleep with it under my pillow. I will need to refer to it, and I will need to ask for help from the members when there are questions about what the charter means or how to interpret it. I'm not going to take on the onus of making interpretations. If I have questions, I fully plan to reach out to the entire business constituency to ask for perspectives and for help. Again, I'm not going to be acting as a lone ranger out here. I fully need everyone's support. One of the things that I do intend to use is a survey tool so that I can get feedback from all the members in a very easy way. So there are, as I'm sure many of you are familiar with, online survey tools that are out there, and I intend to use those survey tools so that I can quickly gain your feedback when there are questions.
Thank you, Elisa. Just as a little interlude, the members on the call, I think, will have the chance to ask Elisa about the answers when we have finished the written questions, so I haven't forgotten you. Elisa, the next question is, the BC membership today is mostly North American, is made up of mostly North American and European members. How will those standing for office further the need for basic awareness about ICANN, advance the broader BC membership beyond US and European-based companies, continue to develop more diversity and participation in the BC by parties from all regions, especially encouraging the participation of businesses from developing regions such as Latin America and Africa?
Thanks, Glenn. I feel strongly that the only way we can really move forward with outreach is to move towards more online interactions. And so, in particular, hosting webinars, we can host those webinars at times that are more convenient for those regions. But I think that's the only way that we can really advance membership in all regions of the world. And that is something that I have a tremendous amount of experience, not only in presenting on webinars, but helping to coordinate and do the actual outreach. You know, one thing I feel will be good for the BC in this coming year is to really reach out to those new GTLD applicants who have applied for DOT brands. While I think, you know, they may have a home in the NTAG, I think that many of them will find that they are also well served by the business constituency. And so if we focus on that, there are applicants across the globe, and I think that's a good place for us to start. But this, again, this is my thought. You know, I want to understand what the other members think. Again, I'm not going to make this decision on my own. I want to hear from the members in terms of whether they think that's a viable approach.
Thank you, Elisa. Now there are two questions that were specifically mentioned for the chair only, but they are very similar to the last question. You may just want to add to what you have said. I'll read the two questions to you together so that you can decide how you'd like to answer them. The first question is, in view of the low participation of business from the developing countries in the BC, what new initiatives will you engage in to change this scenario? And the second question is, what is your take on the current ICANN outreach strategy in Africa?
So, again, I think my approach would be to move more towards online interactions as opposed to trying to do face-to-face events, really for a number of reasons. One, business people often can't leave work to go attend a face-to-face event. Obviously, the costs involved for face-to-face events are pretty significant, and we don't have the funds at this point to do that sort of thing. So just to kind of reiterate, my plan is to focus on more online web events as opposed to doing face-to-face interaction to improve outreach. I think your second question was about ICANN and about their outreach in Africa. And
That's the current ICANN outreach strategy in Africa.
In Africa. That's something that I don't have a perspective on, and so I will need to respond to that in writing.
Thank you, Elisa. May I now open it up to the members on the call to ask questions to Elisa or further clarifications?
Hey, Glenn, this is John. I have a question.
Yes, certainly, John.
So, for Elisa, of course. If you were to, you know, would look at the statement that I wrote when I sought to become counselor, a big part of it was expanding the footprint of the business constituency. In the 3 years since, it's become clear self-interest of business is across the board with regard to ICANN. There's the advisory committee, the ESAC advisory committee. There's the intellectual property constituency. There's the growing new TLD applicant group within the registries. And, of course, the obvious fact that most members of the registrars, the registries, the ISPC are all businesses in and of themselves. I guess my question is, those bits of ICANN have a much more focused deliverable. What is it that the business constituency, in your mind, can stand for, can represent, that would give it, help it maintain equal footing in that?
So I think it's true. I mean, we often find ourselves very much in line, for instance, with the IPC, with the intellectual property constituency. That said, I think our vision is much larger in that we are also concerned with security and stability, not just protecting rights owners, not just protecting against domain name abuse. So when I talk to others about what the BC stands for, I really tell them that we are here to protect the interests of businesses who want to conduct online activity, who want to participate in electronic commerce, that want to have a web presence, that own domain names, that are concerned not only about protecting their domain names, but also about ensuring that the entire DNS is safe and secure. And so it is very broad. There is no doubt about that. And, you know, even my very running for this particular position, in the fact that Matt Serlin is the chair in the registrar's constituency, that in of itself, I mean, yes, we are participating all over the board, and we find that we have to participate, or we want to participate in two constituencies because our interests are not met over there. Our interests are also met over here as well. It is a tough question and probably one that we should work together as a team to further refine.
Thank you, Elisa. May I take a cue? So after John, who would like to ask questions?
This is Ron. I'd like to be in the queue, please, Glenn.
Thank you. And anybody else?
Jimson, yes.
Thank you, Jimson. I've got your name. Anybody else? All right. We start with you, Ron, please.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And thank you, Elisa, for standing for the office. One of the things that, and all the candidates for that matter, it's one of the things that my experience in ICANN and certainly within the BC over these last 13 years has been, is we don't have enough hands to put on the oars to keep the boat moving forward. If you understand my analogy, a lot of people are very busy, and to spend the amount of time that ICANN demands is not an easy one. So I commend all of you who are standing to be officers of the BC, because I know the tremendous workload that you're undertaking. So thank you for that. My question comes to the point of that you just brought up, in fact, that we have Mark Monitor has two of its employees sitting in chair positions within two constituencies. And so the question is really more of an observation, is that it's going to be a bit of a tricky road for you to navigate, in so much as there needs to be a Chinese wall, and I appreciate that there will be one. But it's something that we really, within the transparency element of ICANN, is so important. And I think that it's commendable that you make the statement up front and that we hear it directly from you on this call, the situation being that, you know, there's two of you from the same company on two different chairs within the body of ICANN. But managing that task is not going to be an easy one, and I commend you for making sure that all of the issues vis-a-vis where you stand as a corporation and where you stand as the chair of the BC will be very clearly delineated as we go forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. I'd just like to comment on that. So we've dealt with that already in the past year, and when Matt Serlin has an issue that is proprietary and confidential and not public knowledge, that's not something he shares with me, and vice versa. Just to be clear, his participation in the registrar's constituency is very, very different than my participation in the business constituency, in that he is there to represent Mark Monitor as a registrar. And we are the largest corporate-only registrar, and that's why he's in that position. He's there to ensure that that business and those business needs that we have are dealt with and our perspectives are heard, and he's there to help lead that group. My participation in the business constituency is really to bring forward and to help our clients, which are large corporations, understand what is going on, to not only understand what's going on at ICANN, but also to have their voices heard. So my participation in the BC is really about representing not now only Thomson Reuters, because as I mentioned, Mark Monitor was acquired by Thomson Reuters, and they themselves are a very large corporation, but I'm also here to represent our large clients, our large businesses. I will also mention that not all of our clients are large businesses. We do also serve smaller businesses as well. So I'm aware that there are some different needs for large businesses versus small and medium-sized enterprises. But I definitely understand that we need to have this separation, and when we need to have that separation, it will occur. That said, when we don't need the separation, when there is information that has been made publicly available, and I need to get clarification from Matt as the chair of the registrar's constituency, it is nice to be able to get that. So I would actually say it is a benefit, but I do understand the need for that Chinese wall, and I think over the past year we've already had to navigate our way through that, so I think I'm pretty familiar with what will need to occur.
Thank you very much, Elisa. Jimson, you next. And then I'm afraid we will have to close off Elisa's interview.
Okay, thank you very much. I also want to, following the example of Ron, to really thank all those that offered themselves to serve the BC, and those that have also played a significant role, Mary Lane, Fee. I want to really appreciate it. It's a lot of time commitment. Lisa, I just want to ask if you had the opportunity to preview the Mary Lane strategy in the engaging developing nation businesses like SME, which you are also concerned about, and also the opportunity to review the ICANN African strategy. Will you be willing to adopt some of those strategies apart from the webinar you talk about, the engagement? I think the need for face-to-face engagement is also important, and the webinar to also come upon it is also critical. So you will be willing to adopt some of those strategies that are already identified in terms of reaching out to businesses in developing regions? Thank you.
I would say to the extent that we have members in those regions who can take on that work and help to facilitate perhaps face-to-face meetings and that kind of outreach, I think the business constituency, the members would be fully supportive of that. I think this is a decision that probably needs to be asked of the entire membership. But, of course, if we have members that want to do the outreach and take up that on, I think we want to be totally supportive of that. Whether or not the XCOM can take leadership and can promise that we have funds available, that's something that we have to look further at. But to the extent that, for instance, you would be able to help to support that, I think, of course, we would be very supportive and provide whatever materials we can.
Thank you, Elisa. May we now pass on to Steve Del Bianco, please? Steve, are you ready?
Sure, Glenn.
Thank you. And I would like to pose the questions that have been put for all the candidates to you first, and then, as we've done with Elisa, open the floor for the other members on the call to ask you questions. So, Steve, thank you. The first question is, did any affiliate or parent company representative vote during the 2012 in any other constituency stakeholder group on any policy issue or officer election in 2012 in any other constituency, in another constituency?
Thanks, Glenn. MetChoice is a 501c6 U.S. corporation and nonprofit trade association. As such, we don't have any parents, affiliates, or subsidiaries, so none of those kind of relationships or entities voted in any other AC or SO.
Thank you, Steve. The next question is, this is a time of much change at ICANN, and relationships are really important at this time. Can you tell us about your relationships with the board, other chairs, and advisory committees that will support the continuation of the BC's leadership and visibility?
Yes, I think visibility is the easiest of those to accomplish by virtue of attending the meetings and speaking frequently. To me, the real key there is to be seen as accessible, being friendly with people in conversation, but more important, to be credible. We have to be credible about what we say, be on point, and not sort of harass folks that are on the board or on the GAC. And that is a challenge to do it. They're so busy that when we do have those interactions, it's very hard to zero in on one particular point that's important to BC members. And I have found it's useful to do communications outside of the ICANN meetings. I mean, a casual phone call, an email exchange, outside of the pressures of ICANN, are one real way to build that one-to-one relationships that are essential. I feel like I have especially good relationships with board members like Crocker Despain, Della Chappelle, Tonkin, Erica Mann, and Shireen, and also several GAC members, including GAC leadership. I feel they see me as somebody that can present a point quickly and have some credibility about addressing the key issues that are relevant to that audience. I'll take next question.
Thank you, Steve. Questions about charters. Can you discuss your familiarity with both the BC and the CSG charters? Recognizing charter updates are necessary from time to time, what is the timeline and process that you would anticipate? How would you ensure that the charter updates remain fair to both small business members and large corporate members?
On the small versus large, I think the key there is to keep our due structure with multiple tiers and do our best to keep it affordable for the very smallest entities. With respect to the charter updates, that really needs to be driven by members, and I'll give you two examples. Members have already indicated a strong preference that we have elections rather than executive committee appointments for certain positions that the BC has the opportunity to fulfill, things like the NOMCOM or whatever. The second is that we really need to ask members about areas of interest for charter updates and perhaps even a straw poll before we do the work of drafting the change to the charter that would accomplish that objective. So it's really putting the cart behind the horse in this case. So to give you an example, I would want to do a straw poll of members, and this would, be, of course, be subject to the rest of the executive committee's approval, but a straw poll of members on, do we want to change the charter with respect to membership criteria? Do we want to change the charter with respect to term limits? And if a majority of members were interested in that change, then we do the work of drafting. I just feel like that's easier than trying to draft it first. Okay, Glenn?
Thank you, Steve. And the last question is, BC membership is almost totally North American and European today. How will those standing for office further the need for basic awareness about ICANN, advance the broader BC membership beyond US and European-based companies, continue to develop more diversity and participation in the BC by parties from all regions, especially encouraging the participation of business from developing regions such as Latin America and Africa?
Thanks, Glenn. Four of my own member companies at NetChoice are part of the BC today, PayPal, eBay, Facebook, and News Corp. But so many of my other members and the people I work with regularly in coalitions are multinational corporations who don't belong to the business constituency or to ICANN. And speaking just as what I can do, I mean, I realize that the leadership of our chair and the CSG liaison we have on a lot of things we do in finance administration in terms of outreach events, but speaking from my position as policy chair, I would want to consider approaching my other members that are not in the BC and say, give us the opportunity to talk with your professional colleagues in that multinational company who are in Asia, in Latin America, for instance, who would have the remotest interests in the relevant issues that the BC covers. That kind of an introduction would carry with it the opportunity for me to try to get them engaged with the BC and with what's coming up later this year in Latin America. It's a golden opportunity to see whether we could get some companies to designate their own colleagues from South America to plan now for the end-of-year meeting in Buenos Aires and start to get indoctrinated to the BC issues. And I think this is not a giant retail operation that's going to bring in dozens of new members. I have to be realistic about this. But those kind of direct targeted outreaches have the opportunity to bring maybe half a dozen new members that would be in places like Asia and Latin America.
Thank you very much, Steve. May I open it up now to the floor? And can I take a cue of those who would like to ask questions to Steve?
It's Marilyn. Can I be in the queue?
Thank you, Marilyn. You are indeed. Is there anybody else?
Ron. Glenn. Ron. Thank you.
Yes. Anybody else? I'll give you a moment.
Jimson,
I've got you. Anybody else to get off mute quickly? Hearing no more voices. Marilyn, please go ahead.
Actually, let me defer to Ron and Jimson and ask a question. I want to offer the courtesy to others first.
Certainly. Ron, you were next.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Marilyn. Steve, you know, you and I are both long in the tooth with BC, and we've come from a place where we used to go to a meeting, there would be 350 people in total, and the number of things that were on the agenda in terms of policy things may have been up or 10. Now, it seems to me we're getting 5 or 10 a day. What do you, how do you feel we can best handle this pace of policy development within the BC right now, recognizing that there's so many things on the table? How would you suggest we try to tackle this this monster that continues to grow in terms of more and more policy discussions and more public comments that need to be weighed in upon. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. And I know you acutely recognize the workload. Just last week, I know you put out a call to members both on email and on the phone to try to get folks to step up and volunteer. And I appreciate that. But I also understand that on a phone call, when I ask who's interested in volunteering, that is a very tough thing for people to respond to. I find it difficult myself on a phone call like that. If somebody asks for volunteers, it's often difficult to know whether I want to volunteer because I don't have a real sense of the time requirements. I'm not exactly sure how I would start. I don't know if someone else is going to join. So that may not be the best way to do things. And I think that it's better to do direct outreach. And I've tried a couple of experiments recently. Like traditionally, we've circulated a draft by a rapporteur that's been recruited and then soliciting comments on that. This is what we did for the straw man, for instance. Well, look, that's a big lift to do that initial drafting. And the lifting becomes heavier if members do provide substantive edits at the very last minute, which we tend to have a habit of doing that. Now, I think we have to try to experiment with some other methods, Ron. So one, for instance, is to circulate a preliminary draft, a very rough draft, or an outline via email. Give people the chance to read it on the text portion of their email. They don't have to open an attachment. Give them an opportunity to give a quick reply. Now, we've done this five times this year out of the 13 times that we did comments, and it helped. And I think all of you saw that Elisa did it late last week with the draft on our response on policy versus implementation. And look, there was a fabulous flow of early responses. I mean, Elisa's got a lot of work to do to turn those into a draft now, but it's been great to draw people in. A second, Marilyn has suggested the idea of brainstorming calls. And I know we have a scheduling tool like Doodle to do that, and we ought to try that, I think, more than we do. And finally, yesterday I tried something completely different for all of you regarding closed generic TLDs, right? I sent out a background document, and I usually do this. I categorize all of prior BC positions in case a relatively new member sort of wants to spin up on where we've been on something before, but that's optional. It's an attachment. And I also put in the document in question, which was the registry code of conduct. Instead of making you go find it, I carved it out of the registry agreement and made it a little one-and-a-half-page attachment. And then I put a straw poll of outcomes, not necessarily the rhetoric we'd attach, but just outcomes. And if we don't get significant interest in BC members at one or another of those outcomes, well, the fallback position is either not to comment at all or just to provide background and information to ICANN over what the BC has said in the past. So I'm hoping that sort of really targeted outreach of asking people for an indication of what kind of outcome we want will start to give me a chance to get some reaction from people. And Ron, I certainly hope you'll weigh in on that too. And that leads us down the path of where we have to comment. Some of this, Ron, gets to the point that with so many open public comment periods, we inevitably have to prioritize. We can't address them all. So by asking for a straw poll like I did yesterday, I hope that'll reveal whether this is a priority item for the BC. But I realize that it could just be that we have conflicting interests that would make it difficult for us to have a consensus on any of the three outcomes that I put in there. But, Ron, thanks for your effort on that and the volunteering that you do.
Thank you very much, Steve. I really appreciate that the idea, that insight. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. Jimson, may I ask you to go next?
Okay, thank you very much. Let me use the opportunity again to thank Steve for all his commitment and the work he has done for BC in terms of policy. You said something quite significant, that you intend to explore the possibility of getting members, including members from developing regions through the multinationals. I think that is quite profound. As a policy person, would this be something I want to put into policy so that we kind of sustain the process? Because most of the drawback we've had is that also, by default, BC and other constituencies, they are mostly populated by North American and European companies. So will you be willing to put in the policy process or maybe charter or something to kind of entrench the process? It's a profound idea of bringing developing regions into D.C. Thank you.
Jimson, thank you for the thank you, and you're welcome. And particularly, it's rewarding when I'm explaining something and relatively new members who show a lot of interest like you seem to appreciate it, and thank you for your interest. You asked about the notion I said of acquiring new members in developing parts of the world through contacts I have at multinational companies, and by no means is that the only strategy. I only represented it as something that I might be able to deliver upon because that's where my interactions are with policy people. I do realize that finding someone from a multinational company who's got operations in South America or in Africa, it may not necessarily be the sign of sort of a small business representation, but I'm not looking to scratch that itch with that outreach. And Jimson, I'll say that the telephone connection we have isn't ideal, and at least for my part, the very end of your question was something about whether I would want to change something in the charter. And I would just ask you to repeat the end of your question for me so that I can try to respond. Or if anyone else heard it well enough to repeat for me.
Yeah, this is Andy. What I heard was exploring the ability to encourage developing nations. It was breaking up for me, too. He said, as a policy person, would it be possible to put into the policy some sustenance of this process of outreach? Are you willing to entrench this process within the D.C.?
Thanks, Angie. Go ahead.
Steve Espino, and I'm sure he will come back on the call.
Marilyn, I have asked the operator to check his line.
Thank you. I agree with Angie's interpretation. It's Marilyn. I agree with Angie's interpretation, but I was just listening. But maybe we could, just whenever he comes back, would it be okay, Glenn, to have him given priority
speak? Repeat the question? Certainly. But in the meantime, Marilyn, could we go over to you, please? I noticed that there is a slight problem, but we will get Jimson back. So over to you, Marilyn.
Whatever you prefer, Glenn. I'm one of the two candidates, so I think it's over to me and Bill Smith, right? However you want to conduct this.
Marilyn, you do not want to ask questions.
Oh no, not to Steve. No, thank you. I was just saying, maybe from a priority perspective, we could put Jimson back in to Steve.
I'm back.
Yeah, there we are. Thank you, Jimson. Yes. Jimson?
Yeah, is there any question for me or something?
Yes. Jimson, the members were not able to hear clearly a part of your question. Could you please repeat it?
Okay. Yes, I was asking Steve whether it would be possible to entrench this strategy he has spoken about in the charter or in the policy framework of D.C. that is directly reach out to representatives of multinationals in developing regions. That's a window towards increasing developing nation participation in D.C. So I was trying to ask whether as a policy person, as a policy chief, whether I want to make this a policy process. Thank you.
Thanks for the question, Jimson. I would not have assumed that I would add anything to the charter specifically about getting policy input from developing nations. But I would suggest this. Our mission statement is very clear about the interests of registrants and users. And therein lies the sweet spot for developing parts of the world. They are full of registrants, businesses and individuals who want to make their presence known to the planet. And they're full of users, many of whom are getting online for the first time, maybe through a mobile device, and using the DNS both for email and for web navigation. So I believe that we could add to our charter maybe an explanation that takes our mission statement and translates it into terms that are more relevant to developing nations so that they understand that the interests of registrants and users are uniquely covered by the business constituency. And all that would be is an extra paragraph, maybe a clarifying paragraph, to point them to the place that the BC is the place for them to belong. And that's got to be the first step at getting them interested in participating in policy. Because when it comes down to it, when they have a comment deadline or something that the BC needs to reply to at ICANN, we have all we can do to try to get a cohesive reply done by the members that we have. And that is not the time that I would end up recruiting developing nation members in the middle of a policy development on a particular topic. So I do think the charter can be clarified to show why the BC is the right place for them, but it's hard for me to see how I would change the policy drafting process to specifically bring new developing nations in. And thank you for the question.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you very much to Jimson, and I apologize for that glitch we had with your line. We can go over to Marilyn. May we go over to you as one of the candidates for CSG representative?
Of course, Glenn, but I just want to be sure, if you don't mind, can we verify if there have been any new additions to the participant list?
To the participant list?
Yes, if you don't mind. Have there been any people joining the BC list?
Glenn, I can do an update on the roll call if you'd like.
Yes, please, Benedetta.
Yeah. Ever since the roll call, we've had three additional members joining, Barbara Wanner, Jim Baskin, and Caroline Greer.
Thank you very much, Benedetta. So, Marilyn, over to you, and may I ask you the same questions that have been put in writing for all the candidates?
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you. The first question is, did any affiliate or parent company representative vote during 2012 in any other constituency stakeholder group on any policy issue or officer election in 2012 in another constituency?
Thank you, Glenn. MKLLC is a member only of the business constituency, and so, of course, I should also say I don't represent any... I know sometimes I've heard comments from various members of the BC questioning whether companies like mine are also representing other companies elsewhere, so let me just address that as well. No, the fact of the matter is MKLLC and myself do not represent interest elsewhere in other constituencies. The focus of my company is on the business constituency, and I think that's a something that probably needs to be validated going forward. I think it is in the constituency, but I'll just state that for the record now.
Thank you, Marilyn. Second question is, this is a time of much change at ICANN, and relationships are really important at this time. Can you tell us about your relationships with the board, other chairs, and advisory committees that will support the continuation of the BC's leadership and visibility?
I'm happy to address this. I have quite extensive personal relationships that are built on long-standing interactions and engagements with the chairs of all of the other constituencies. And I can say that, frankly, with the many of the GAC members, I think probably a very large number of the GAC members know me personally. I work with them not only at ICANN, but elsewhere. I have interactions of informational engagement with a number of the board members outside of ICANN and within ICANN. And I know personally many of the representatives of other constituencies and engage with them on a positive and productive basis on a range of topics.
Thank you, Marilyn. The third question is a question about the charters. Can you discuss your familiarity with both the BC and the CSG charters? And secondly, recognizing charter updates are necessary from time to time, what is the timeline and process that you would anticipate? How would you ensure that the charter updates remain fair to both small business members and large corporate members?
Thank you, Glenn. I think sometimes members, all of us, want to forget that we, after all, are governed by charters, and that helps us. That provides divisions of labor, but also protection for different communities of interest within an organization. I happen to be very familiar with the charter, not only because as past chair, a position I'm rotating out of, I had to be familiar with it, but because I understand that bylaws and charters are critical to protecting the interests of all. So I am very familiar with the charter of the BC. I'm also very familiar with the charter of the CSG, as I did, in fact, help to draft it. It is a limited charter defined with limitations that the BC wanted to ensure, and we were successful in accomplishing that. As far as the timeline for change, all charters should be reviewed on a, I don't know what the right term is, but I will use the term frequent, at least a 3 to 4 year basis. They should be reviewed and assessed on whether or not they still meet their purpose and protect the interest of those who've signed on for them. So it is very much timely to consider review of both the BC Charter and also the CSG Charter. And as to ensuring the representation of all issues, of all parties, I think it would be important to make sure that certain categories of members don't dominate a discussion, and there's a balance of a working group to consider the evaluation of the charter. I will just say it's important for the BC members to understand that regardless of what we want, there is also a evaluation going on of whether or not we have fulfilled our obligations. And so we should probably take that into account and see how we do in the assessment, which is going to take considerable resources from the whoever the executive committee is and the secretariat, and then assess improvements to the charter. Changes in the CSG charter require collaboration with other parties. I think I'm very uniquely qualified to help to advance the interaction with those other parties. But again, I think it's fair to say members need to be engaged in a representative way in driving any changes to the Charter of the BC and also the Charter of the CSG. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you, Marilyn. And the last question is, there are two more specifically questions for the CSG representatives, but the last question that everybody answered is, the BC membership is today mostly North American and European. How will those standing for office further the need for basic awareness about ICANN, advance the broader BC membership beyond US and European-based companies, continue to develop more diversity and participation in the BC by parties from all regions, especially encouraging the participation of businesses from developing regions such as Latin America and Africa?
Thank you, Glenn. For the transcript, it's Marilyn Kay speaking. During the last 2 to 3 years when I was the chair, working in strong alliance with other members and with our vice chair of operations and finance in particular, we undertook outreach to make the visibility of the BC as a possible home to new parties supported by ICANN. It's been a very difficult and challenging task, but I think it has paid off, and we now have very strong leaders in Latin America and in Africa who are driving the agenda. Things have changed at ICANN, and we need to understand that. Things are very, very different at ICANN. There's now a new welcomeness to interacting with regional initiatives, and we will be able, should we support this, we would be able to actually advance the visibility of small and mid-sized businesses, not just global corporates. And I know, you know, the BC is, I understand the comment that the BC is largely global corporates from North America and Europe, but I think those corporates also want to care deeply about advancing a more equitable participation from their colleagues from business in developing countries. So I think if we work with ICANN and we advance our own unique presence through looking at our industry associations, and there are many, many industry associations who are BC members who can advance this, I think we can quickly advance awareness and understanding. The question of how we advance participation is a big challenge because there's a cost to that. And I think we should start with building on the platform we have now and recognizing that we, in fact, have a baseline of participants and from these regions, and advance how they can help us in the region.
Thank you, Marilyn. Now, one of the questions that has been specifically indicated for the CSG representative is, would the candidate please briefly describe the CSG representative role?
Well, I feel a little odd about doing this. Thank you, Glenn. I feel a little odd about doing this since I probably know a great deal about this, having helped to actually create the CSG role. So I think it's important that I just refer members to the BC Charter, the BC, and to my comments, and also to the Commercial Stakeholder Group Charter, and note that it's a supporting role, and it is there to support the effectiveness of the positions taken by the executive committee, and its job is really to make sure that we can effectively advance our interest through the collaboration with the other constituencies. So the respect and understanding and deep relationships with the other constituencies in the CSG are going to significantly impact the effectiveness of the BC in achieving what it wants and its outcomes. But I don't want to read the charters to members, so maybe I could just take questions later on this, if that's okay.
Thank you, Marilyn. And then the last question is, finding joint policy positions of the CSG has been challenging in the past, as has been finding nominees for important teams such as the ATRT. Do the candidates agree that personal contacts and relationship will be important in this role?
Oh, Glenn, thank you so much for that question. I don't know who submitted it, but I welcome it. You know, really, it is incredibly important. The nature of the interactions and the history and awareness and ability to interact on behalf of the BC within the CSG, both individually but also with other groups. I will just say, in the past, I know this is being transcribed, but I'm going to say this. In the past, really, we've used my personal comments to and relationships to advance understanding of the characteristics and the needs of advisors and independent experts, not only members, to the various groups. That's been I've been pleased to make that contribution.
Thank you, Marilyn. May I open the floor now to the rest of the members on the call, and I'll take a cue, perhaps to make it easier for questions. Who would like to be first?
This is Ron. I'd like to be in the queue, please.
Thank you. Jimson, did I hear you?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Is there anybody else?
Angie Graves.
Angie. Perfect.
And Gabby.
And Gabby. Anybody else? So we'll start with you, Ron. Thank you.
I had a point of clarification, but that can wait till after the questions.
Sorry?
I just had a point of clarification, but I can wait till these questions are asked.
I think actually any point of clarification has to prevail.
Yes, please.
Did I misunderstand you? Did you say that all of the candidates had received these questions in writing?
That is my understanding, but I am not in the Secretariat of the BC, so I think we should ask the Secretariat to answer that question rather than me.
It's Marilyn. I have a question. I didn't receive the questions, but aggregating the questions is always something we do. In the past on the part of the Secretariat, but I didn't receive the questions.
Neither did I.
Can you clarify your question?
No, I did not receive the questions, and so I was just trying to understand whether that had been the expectation that we had all received the questions, because I had not received them.
I didn't receive them either. Did you think that's an issue?
No, but Glenn had mentioned that.
I am so sorry, yes. I it was my understanding that the questions had been circulated on the on ABC list.
Shall we ask
for the questions to be circulated on the list now?
I don't think that's necessary.
Not? I do apologize. That was my understanding, and it was wrong.
Can I ask another clarification question? I'm not sure if I can ask those.
Oh,
yes.
But Glenn, I need to say something. It's Marilyn. I welcome surprise questions. That's not a problem.
All right. What is the next clarification question?
Can I ask a question to one of the candidates that already spoken?
Yes, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Of course. But can we just go through the list that we have, because our time is getting very short. We have got 2 minutes left for Marilyn.
Cool.
So could we go to Ron, please?
Thank you, Glenn. I'll pass my time to someone else. I've spoken several times today. Thank you.
Thank you. Jimson?
Just to use the opportunity to appreciate Marilyn for her vision and commitment and to ask whether the momentum, she will sustain momentum of reaching out to potential members in the developing regions through this new position.
I'll make this very quick. The only way the VC is going to be effective within ICANN is if it is broad and diverse and acknowledged and respected for its presence, not just in two regions, but in all regions. And it really is okay for us to be developmental in other regions, but we have to have a priority, in my view, for bringing in the other regions, particularly now with the new CEO, who's quite clear that internationalization means bringing in participation from other regions. We're very lucky. We have Gabby and Jimson and Nizar from WITSA. I think Andres is on the phone, who are undertaking initiatives in other regions that if we don't have, if the BC doesn't make itself very clearly more than just global corporates, I think we'll lose credibility. And I think we're poised to be so much more. So my point would just be, how do we advance being more, building on the activities we've been trying to put in place and strengthening relationships that we have now.
Thank you, Marilyn. I'm afraid I have to stop after this because we have one more candidate, and we will then see if we can answer, if we can let the two people who were in line, Angie and Gabby, ask questions when we have heard from our last candidate, Bill Smith. Bill, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Did any affiliate or parent company representative vote during 2011 in any other constituency stakeholder group on any policy issue or officer election in 2012 in another constituency?
I am not aware that any affiliate or parent company has done that. PayPal is, of course, owned by eBay. I note that eBay is a member of the business constituency, but we operate very separately, and I'm not aware that any affiliate has taken any action in other in any other constituency.
Thank you, Bill. This is a time of change in ICANN, and relationships are really important at this time. Can you tell us about your relationships with the board, other chairs, and advisory committees that will support the continuation of the BC's leadership and visibility?
Certainly. As I noted in my candidate statement, I am a relative newcomer to ICANN, having been here now approximately, over 2 years. In that time, I've worked with a variety of people in the different constituencies. I served on the WHO's review team and was able to, very fortunate in that role, to work with representatives from across the various stakeholder groups and constituencies. With respect to the board, I have a good working relationship with the chair, Steve Crocker, also Bruce Tonkin, Bill Graham, and I have established, I think, a very good personal relationship, also professional, and as well Bertrand de la Chapelle. From the IPC community, I know Stephen Talitz quite well, the ISPs, Mikey O'Connor. I know Tony Holmes and Tony Harris, but not as well. I do know and work with Heather Dryden, both in ICANN, of the GAC, both in ICANN and outside. We spent a fair amount of time together at the Wicket. And then from the SAC, Patrick Fallstrom and I also are quite close and work together on technical issues as well as governance issues. So I believe I have a very good working relationship across the organization. I listen well and take into consideration views of others and count that as one of my strengths, as I think is evidenced by the roles that I've held outside of ICANN over a very long period, and I bring that into this organization as something new and that I can offer. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. Questions about the charters. Can you discuss your familiarity with both the BC and the CSG charters? Secondly, recognizing charter updates are necessary from time to time, what is the timeline and process that you would anticipate? How would you ensure that the charter updates remain fair to both small business members and large corporate members?
So, yes, I am familiar with the charters. I have read both of them at different times and have a background in governance, both corporate and not-for-profit. I served as the secretary of the Liberty Alliance for a decade and know very well how important charters are. Specifically, in terms of updating, I think given the fact that this is a time of change for ICANN, this year is a time for certainly the BC charter to be updated. The CSG charter appears to be a fairly lightweight governing document. There's it lays out some things in very broad terms, but generally pushes down any decision-making, real decision-making, or policy making back into the respective organizations that make up the CSG. So that document is, as far as I can tell, at this point, would potentially require less update in terms of the changes that we are seeing or might occur within ICANN. And the BC, I think, is where we would focus. A number of things have been mentioned already. I think we heard from Elisa talk about term limits. I think
other items. We're losing you.
Okay. Are others having a problem?
I can hear you, Bill.
Perhaps you could speak a bit louder, Bill, please.
Okay. I apologize. I'm speaking into my handset. But I think the BC charter should be updated. We should do that as appropriate. Others have mentioned things like term limits. I think we need also on finance, budget transparency, items like that. So, yes, I have a familiarity with the charters themselves. If we are going to update them, though, they require very careful consideration and a detailed analysis far beyond what we could do on this call. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. The BC membership is today mostly North American and European. How will those standing for office further the need for basic awareness about ICANN, advance the broader BC membership beyond US and European-based companies, continue to develop more diversity and participation in the BC by parties from all regions, especially encouraging the participation of businesses from developing regions such as Latin America and Africa?
So one of the ways that I do that is I travel extensively on behalf of PayPal in internet governance. And in each venue that I attend, when I speak with people, I encourage participation at the various internet governance organizations, be they ICANN, the RIRs, the network operating groups around the world, the Internet Society. One thing we learned at the Wicket that I think ICANN could and others could take a lesson from is that in the developing world in particular, the ITU sends out formal letters via snail mail to representatives inviting them to meetings, and that this is actually something that's quite important in those regions is to receive an official invitation so that they can then take it up into their superiors to say, I have been invited, and here's I need to go to this meeting. We have taken in the internet community a very different approach, which is all meetings are open, of course you can come, but that lack of invitation is problematic, it turns out. So that's something very simple that we could do. I believe we should also work with the Internet Society, the International Chamber of Commerce, the regional Internet registries, and others that we know more regionally to bring more people in. Specifically in Latin America, we could work with Raul Echeverria, Alejandro Passante, and others. And I think it's important that we attempt to establish more footholds. We already have some, and build from there. We could look to AFRINIC, would be another example. So I think this is, it is important for us to do this, and I think we all can assist by any time we are in a region, speaking with those that we meet, and encouraging participation.
Thank you, Bill. The question that is specifically pointed to the CSG representatives is, would the candidates please briefly describe the CSG representative role?
Certainly. So I believe that the CSG role is one to attempt to build consensus amongst the other members of the commercial stakeholder group, working with the IPC and the ISPs to establish positions that make sense for the commercial group. That's the most important thing, I believe. I am a very strong proponent of consensus, talking through issues, finding ways to achieve consensus and something that works for all. And that does not necessarily mean everyone agrees with absolutely everything that is in a position, but that we get to a point where we all can say, I can agree to that, or I will not disagree. And I think that's a very important thing, and I'd like to see ICANN do more of that, and I see that as an important part of the CSG role, because we are going to, we do see a diverse set of opinions, even within our own constituency, and we need to find ways to achieve a consensus view that then can be pushed up into the stakeholder group.
Thank you, Bill. The last question is, finding joint policy positions of the CSG has been challenging in the past, as has been finding nominees for important teams such as the ATRT. Do the candidates agree that personal contact and relationship will be important in this role?
So as phrased, that question, it just gets a one-word answer, yes. I agree that personal contacts are important. As to the difficulty of finding nominees, I believe is how the question was phrased. I have no personal knowledge of that. What I will say in that is that I think it very important that we locate individuals who are interested in serving, that have a passion for this work, and that they are the people we should seek. So if the difficulty is finding people like that, well then we need to go out and solicit them, find people who are passionate and invite them into these roles. If the difficulty is some other something else, I am not familiar with that. But I think the biggest thing is finding people who are passionate, willing to fight for a free, open, and generative Internet, something that we all benefit from, whether we are businesses, individual users, trademark owners, doesn't matter. The important thing for all of us is that we have an Internet that remains available and open to all, and that's extremely important. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. May I open it now to the floor for further questions to you? We have, I think, 3 or 4 minutes left, but I would like to give the opportunity to others to ask you questions. Who would like to ask Bill a question?
This is Gabby.
Yes, Gabby, please. Is there anybody else? Angie, perhaps?
Hi, if we're running short on time, I'm certainly happy to withdraw my question. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Over to you, Gabby.
Okay, first of all, thanks to all BC members for all the support that we've been receiving in the last year as members, particularly Martin Kate, that she has been mentoring us a lot. So firstly, I want to ask... actually, I want to say that I'm going to ask the question, but I have to leave afterwards, so I'm not going to really hear now the answer, but then I will read it in the transcript. But I want to know if Bill, Elisa, and Steve, the three of them, if they can expand a little more on how they plan to work on awareness and outreach in developing regions and truly be supportive of representatives that will be able to assume key roles in the future. That's my question. If there's no time, maybe they can just write this afterwards. I'm also cannot be staying anymore, so thank you very much.
Glenn, it's Marilyn. Can you just reread her question, which maybe all of us may want to respond to? I thought it was I just want to be sure we've captured the question.
You want me to repeat it?
Yes. Oh, could you? Yes, please.
So the question would be, how do you plan on working on awareness and outreach to be truly supportive of developing country representatives that will be able to assume key roles in the BC in the future?
Okay, thank you. Sorry. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Gabby.
Thanks to all, and goodbye. I really have to leave. I'm so sorry for this.
Thank you. Bill?
Okay, so what I would suggest in answer to this question is exactly what I believe I said, just said, which is, let's find people who are passionate about the work that needs to be done or a specific role. So I think in order to get people from the developing world, whether that be Latin America, Africa, or wherever, the island nations, first we need to do an outreach into those areas to try and attract more participation. And I think we're fortunate that we have Gabby, Jim, some, and others. But at present, we have a limited number of candidates to do outreach to. So first, we need to get more participation. Once we have that, we then would go within that group. I would suggest go within that group to find those who have a definite passion for whatever it is that we are doing. If it is, as an example, charter update, we would need to find someone who has deep experience, or that would be best, deep experience with charters, bylaws, et cetera, and has a passion for working on that. If we can find someone from the developing world, that would be great. I think their input is extremely valuable. But we also need to pay attention to subject matter expertise in these areas. So I think, you know, again, coming back, we need generally to expand and extend our outreach to get more participation, and then we find people who have expertise in an area and are passionate about it, and work within the group. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Is there anybody else who would like to ask Bill a question? Is somebody trying to get off mute?
This is Ron, if I may, Glenn.
Certainly, Ron. Please go ahead.
Bill, this is Ron. Thanks very much for standing and being prepared to give the effort and time. Quick question about when you look at the CSG, what is the one thing that you think needs to move forward? What is the issue within the BC that you would say is one of the primary activities that you need to undertake?
That's an excellent question, Ron. I don't know that there is a single one. I will say one of the things that I notice within ICANN at large is, and I believe within the BC and at the CSG, and that is the ability to achieve consensus on issues. I see a lot of voting that goes on. I believe voting is antithetical to consensus. That may be a controversial viewpoint, but voting tends to have winners and losers, whereas consensus, everyone is agreeing to accept things they may dislike, but in deference to others and the social contract that we are operating under in ICANN and in the Internet at large. So I would like to see much more consensus building being done, more outreach to different groups earlier on as opposed to late in the process. And I think that's a very important thing, and something I think, you know, I would like to see in this time of change is that we pay more attention to that. Within the BC itself, you know, we've talked about small companies, large companies, those from some developing nations, North America, Europe, Asia. You know, we've got such a diverse set of interests, it is almost impossible to come up with a single position. Especially if we are doing voting or things like that, we only need to look, in my opinion, at the wicket for an example of how not to do consensus and the possible outcome of such a thing, where you have two-thirds of the world's nations wanting one set of regulations and one-third of the world's nations desiring something different. We can learn from that, and we can do better. And so I think that is, to me, that's potentially the most important thing. I don't know that it's just within the CSG, but I think it's a bigger issue for ICANN, is how do we take the make sure that the interests, as an example, of the commercial group, the non-commercial group, government, security, different risk or positions, if you will, from within the community, how do we make sure that we pay attention to those, but at the same time come up with positions that we all can agree on? And that means we all will have to yield from time to time. And so I hope we can find a way forward where we aren't advocating so strongly for a specific position that we lose sight of the importance of other things. The Who Is Review team was a real eye opener in that regard. And I believe we did, we found a way where we came up with a consensus report that I certainly know there were things in there I didn't really want to see, but I stand behind because we decided at the outset that we would only issue a report that had a consensus view. And I think that's, you know, I think that's crucial for ICANN to really get back to the bottoms-up, consensus-based organization that it declares itself to be. So that's the big thing I think, and I think also then, therefore, within the CSG. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Bill. Unfortunately, our time is up for this call. I would like to thank the candidates who participated very much and all the members who participated. And I would also like to apologize for the misunderstanding about the questions. These questions came from the members, apparently. They were aggregated by the BC Secretariat, and they were submitted to me, but I have no insight whatsoever as to who asked questions. I received an anonymous list, and I'm sorry, it was my understanding that these had been sent out on a BC list, and not being on a BC list, I was not able to verify if that was so or not. So please, my apologies for that. And thank you very much.
Actually, Glenn, it's Marilyn. Can I just verify? It's still possible for members to engage in dialogue, right?
Oh, yes, certainly.
So I just asked that clarification.
Yes, thank you very much. Members can still engage in dialogue. I suppose interact on the BC list. Is that so, Marilyn?
That would be up to Benny as the officer.
Yes, that's right. Candidates can still interact on the list until tomorrow when the election opens.
And when the election opens, the voting starts tomorrow, I believe.
That's right, yes.
And then is there any other list? Closed, or what is the procedure?
Procedure is that candidates can interact on the list until voting opens, therefore until tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there further questions, perhaps, about the election procedures? Not hearing any. I thank you again very much, and good evening. Good day to you all.